I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, we just got a tweet from a listener in Australia. How about that? The show is international. Every now and then, we get tweets from Europe. I've had some from, I'm pretty sure Australia is as far away as we've ever gotten them. But we've had some from, well, Afghanistan, Iraq, those would be my guesses, Kuwait, where we have American men and women who are stationed in the military and serving overseas. So that happens on a regular basis. But to get a tweet from Australia is pretty awesome. So I want to read it. Benjamin says on Twitter, A-Law Radio, I'm an Aussie and I can name like one player in college basketball, period. But I love the tournament and the madness and everything about it. And he says, love your show, Amy. Cheers. And so I retweeted him and asked him which one. And he called him the Zion bloke. Oh, I need an Australian accent to be able to say the Zion bloke. But my Australian accent is right there with my British accent. The only thing I can say is across the pond. That's all I got. That's it. Those three words. So me, when it comes to impressions, when it comes to feigning some type of accent, I can't even feign an accent from where I grew up in New Hampshire. Forget an accent from another country. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thank you, Benjamin, for tuning in from Australia. That makes you a cool bloke, I think. A-Law Radio on Twitter, to answer our question, how do you fill out your brackets? What is the method to your madness? And some of you are cracking me up with your answers. Same thing on Facebook, where many of you are responding with GIFs. The coin flip GIF. The Adam Gase eyes following a taco GIF. I don't really know how that applies to your March Madness bracket, but it's awesome. The taco keeps bouncing around, and Adam Gase just keeps following it with his eyes. Justin says on Facebook, I look for the hot team going in. I always pick an upset or two, but my bracket history says that I pretty much guess. Well, of course, we all guess. We have zero idea how it's actually. I mean, we think we have an idea how it's going to play out, but we really don't. Michael says, close your eyes and pick them for the 314, the 413, the 512, the 611, the 710, and the 8-0 games. I think he meant to say 9. The 8-9 games and the higher seed for all the others. Well, that only applies to the first round, though. So he goes chalk after picking some of those upsets initially. Let's see. Michael does actually have a method. He says he picks based on free throw percentage and turnovers. That's smart. However, sometimes matchups can dictate how often you're on the free throw line or how often you turn the ball over. Zachary on Facebook, this year picking Duke is the best advice. Tom says, let someone pick for you that knows nothing about hoops. Make sure they use the favorite color and mascot approach. I mean, it's as good as any. If you're filling out a bracket, trying to get too technical and analytical is actually your worst enemy. Scott posted a GIF of Sandra Bullock with a blindfold in bird bath. Wait, what's it called? Bird something? I still haven't seen it. Can you tell? Bird bath. That might be interesting.
It wasn't terrible.
I know you said that, but I know. I
wouldn't watch it again, but it wasn't
okay,
terrible.
Well, I'll just take your word for it. There goes the perfect show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS. So I wanted to share this tweet that I got with you earlier, and I need someone to interpret this for me. This is probably coming back on Facepalm Friday. I don't remember when I tweeted this. I think it was last week, but it might have been 2 weeks ago. Sometimes people respond to tweets, and I feel like I have no idea how they saw them because it was so long ago, but they do. And so a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was last Sunday night, I spoke to my grandmother, who, by the way, is 2 weeks away from turning 97. Boom. I spoke to my Grammy, and she was telling me about this recent bout of insomnia that she's had where she wakes up at 12:30, this is Wisconsin time, 12:30 or 1 o'clock, and she cannot get back to sleep. And she reads a book for a little while, but she really, no matter what she does, can't get back to sleep until finally, you know, the reading kind of gets her to doze off again. And so I told her, I reminded her that my radio show starts at 1 a.m. Central Time and that we set her radio to the local sports station. It's actually out of Green Bay, so that she could listen if she was ever awake at that time. And so she said, oh, and remembered. And I tweeted about how my Grammy may finally, at nearly 97 years old, hear me on the radio for the first time. So I got this response. Now, again, it's 2 weeks later, but I got this response from K.A. Hope I didn't miss any bad news about Grammy. I don't know what that means. You hope you didn't miss any bad news about my Grammy? Do you think he meant to say, I hope I didn't miss any news? Or I almost said something you were going to have to
bad
dump.
Bad guy.
He's being a bird bath. I hope I didn't miss any bad news about your Grammy. Maybe he's just being a jerk. That could be the case. Anyway, I'll probably bring that back on a Facepalm Friday. I told you guys what happened about a month ago. I got a message on Facebook. Now, this is my personal Facebook page, but it's someone that I don't communicate with on a regular basis. I don't remember who it was. Somebody who I originally accepted as a friend on Facebook like years ago, and he's pretty active on my page, so I just left it, whatever, I didn't want to hurt his feelings. But he sent me a message telling me that he was really sorry to hear that my Grammy had passed away, that he'd been off social media for a while, but he was really sorry that he hadn't been in touch after my grandmother passed away. I mean, this is what happens when you get your personal news off social media. First of all, unless someone hacked my account, which there are dummy Facebook accounts set up in the name of Amy Lawrence. So I guess that could be where he got it from. But at what point did he feel like he heard about my grandma dying? I didn't put that on Facebook or any other social media page. There's that, very weird. Sometimes I think people send you crap like that just to get a response. Like they're kind of trying to press a button and see if they can get you to respond.
That's a really big button to press, though. That's a bad move.
And then I said, oh, no, you're mistaken. My Grammy is very much alive. And he writes back, oh, I've never been so glad to be wrong in my life. But wrong? I mean, where did you? I didn't ask him where he got it from because I didn't really care, I guess. But, yeah. Hope I didn't miss any bad news about your Grammy. People are strange. Just super strange. And they reside in a bird bath. It's my new favorite thing. What's the bird box, bird bath? I mean, they're both small areas.
You hear what I said?
Where monsters apparently reside. Oh, gosh. Okay, so the tournament. Wait, should I just read it the way it is? I mean, the person who wrote this probably isn't listening right now, correct?
I think there's about 1,000% chance that they're not listening.
All right, so this is what happens sometimes behind the scenes. We have to edit the promotional announcements that are handed to us because they're wrong. So Chris hands me a promotional announcement that I'm supposed to read for CBS Sports Network, and he made sure to note that it was incorrect, but I'm going to read it exactly how it's written. The tournament has officially tipped off. Oops. CBS Sports Network is ready to bring you in-depth analysis of the Field of 68 and take a look at who has a chance to win it all. Don't miss NCAA March Madness Bracket Breakdown tonight at... Uh-oh. Well, what does that mean by tonight? 12 midnight Eastern? And does it mean tonight as in Tuesday night? People just, there's no A or P there.
Yeah, and they usually make separate versions of these things, too. So they make one specific for our show. I guess they're feeling a little lazy. I don't know what happened.
Tonight at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific. Okay. I'm just reading the piece of paper that was handed to me. On the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Huh.
Well, 60% of the time, it works every time.
Well, I guess the good news is that regardless of if it's 12 P, which would be noon, or if it's 12 A, which would, of course, be 9 Pacific. That makes more sense. It doesn't interfere with our show. The day they hand me a promo about something that airs during the show is the day that I revolt and say, no, you take your terrible copy and you go back to your office. Got it? Just between the bad news about my Grammy getting missed and the bad promos, it's been a banner few minutes. Kevin says on Facebook, no, this is Twitter. Kevin says on Twitter, random when it comes to filling out my bracket, except taking one of the top seeds in the Final Four. Yeah, it's very rare that none of the top seeds make the Final Four, but it's also very rare that all four of them do. And so you definitely shouldn't pick all four of the ones to get that way. Chip says he's listening in the Philippines. Boom! How about that? We're international. These awesome promos that we have for CBS Sports Network, they're now international as well. I mean, why don't they care about what time it is in the Philippines? Let's talk to Red, who's been waiting in Georgia so patiently. Hello, Red.
How's it going, Amy? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Amy, I have put you in the Final Four of radio talk show hosts of all time.
Is there a bracket? Is there a bracket somewhere? Oh, you did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Nice bracket. About 100 radio talk show hosts. So,
how many are in it? How many are you? Do you have 68 in your bracket?
Oh, I got 100, Amy. I got 100 of them.
Got it. Okay. That's some pretty elite company. Thank you.
I know that's right. But, Amy, this is what I called you about.
Mm-hmm.
We're up here talking about the Miami Dolphins tanking before a season even starts. And tanking possibly for 2 years for Trevor Lawrence. And I have came up with an idea to stop tanking or to better tanking.
Wait, to which one? To stop it or to better it?
To better it. Here it is. You go by a point system. The worst team in the league, you give them a certain amount of points. And then every other team that's in the league, you give them points for every point. To create how many points you give them, but you give them points for competing in the fourth quarter. So if they score a touchdown, you get them so many X amount of points, and that will help create a competitive nature even for losing team. And the team with the most points get the number one pick.
Well, but wouldn't it still end up being the worst team in the league, or no?
It would be one of the worst teams in the league, but you got to reward one of the worst teams of the league for being competitive.
Oh.
Just not give it to them because they're the worst team, but you take all the worst team in the league, you put them in a bag, and then you create a point system that way, and then you reward them for being competitive throughout the season.
Oh, okay. I like the part about putting them in a bag. That's fun.
Oh, yeah, you got to put them in a bag and shake them up, Amy. Mm. It wouldn't work if you don't put them in the bag.
Bag them and tag them, baby.
You in the Final Four, Amy. Think about that.
I mean, I'm so honored.
Y'all have a great one.
Thank you, Reg. Put them all in a bag and shake them up, baby. Bag them and tag them. Is that something that a coroner would say? Bag them and tag them. I do. Hey, I have a cousin who is a funeral director. He, in fact, does these things. I remember when my Grammy died, he was all business about the dead body. And I was like, Carl, we this is not what we need right now. But I guess that was how he dealt with it. This is my other Grammy, not the current one who's about to be 97. So don't be starting any rumors and telling people the bad news about my Grammy. I don't even know what to do after that. Just I'm just gonna try to veer back onto the highway. Yes. Dave just said stop talking essentially in my ear. Got it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I don't make many promises in sports, but that one I appeared to hit right on the nose. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Yes, the Patriots will be back. No need to fret over New England. And a missed kick here or there. Here's something else that I'm pretty confident in saying. A lot of you will lose a lot of money over the next several weeks. During the NCAA tournament, I'm not asking you how much you're betting, but I'm telling you that almost 50 million Americans will bet roughly $8.5 billion with a B. It's the B word. $8.5 billion, according to the American Gaming Association. Dave, how much of that is yours? The $8.5 billion. Are you a nano percentage?
I mean, the grand scheme of things, it's not much, but there's a couple hundred bananas out there for me to
sweet.
Yeah.
I like bananas. Almost 50 million. So, again, according to the American Gaming Association, the number is 47 million people. Is that all? We'll fill out an estimated, get this, 149 million brackets. What? Who has that kind of time? 100, that makes me tired. 149 million brackets. And all we're asking you is what's the method to your madness? So it's our Twizzler Tuesday question. If you are one of the 47 million people who will fill out, clearly we're filling out multiple brackets, we'll fill out an estimated 149 million brackets and put down $4.6 billion. So that's brackets consuming $4.6 billion. But then 18 million of those people will place wagers at a sports book, online, with a bookie, what? Or with a friend. So we have a variety of ways that we will gamble during March Madness. 8 states have legal sports betting now. Another 23 states have active bills that are considering making sports gambling legal, though of course it doesn't help you in this current edition of March Madness. But these are some really hefty nerd alerts. Here's a survey conducted by, I have no idea what this company is, but Morning Consult. Nearly 30% of people think Duke will cut down the nets in Minneapolis. Gonzaga, North Carolina, Kentucky, Virginia, Michigan next on the survey. Now that's a survey. I don't know if that really affects how people put their money down. Nerd alert! Yeah, many of them. 50 million people filling out an estimated 149 million brackets. But the total amount bet, the total amount that it's expected to be wagered, $8.5 billion. Imagine what we could do with that money. I would love to see the stats after the fact about how many were winners, how many were losers. So the percentage of bets that were placed that turned up winners, it turned up losers. And there's all kinds of crazy prop bets that you can do too. I don't know if it's as much like the occult of Super Bowl prop bets, but if you're interested, there's a bet out there for you. 855-212-4227. Danny is in Georgia. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy, I'm calling from Brazos in Georgia. This is Danny.
Hello.
Hey, I listen to the show all the time at night until about 4 o'clock in the morning.
Boom.
But I want to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Why did North Carolina State get snubbed from the NCAA and they didn't get to go and Florida did and they lost 15 games?
Yeah, because the strength of schedule for NC State was terrible. Literally last in Division I, it was so bad. And so the committee has made it very clear that even if you play difficult games and difficult non-conference opponents and lose, it's better than to not try at all.
Here's another question. Mm-hmm. Why did Pac-12 only get 3 teams this year? And usually that's one of the better entire conference gets like six or seven because, you know, you got UCLA and Arizona and Stanford.
Yes, well, and the Pac-12 almost only got two teams in because Oregon was a bracket buster by winning the conference tournament. The Ducks got in when they wouldn't have otherwise. Yeah, the league is just down. It's been that way for a couple of years, but the league is definitely down. And was it Arizona State was one of the last teams to get in, actually. So Arizona State made it an extra team from the Pac-12, but they have to play through Dayton. They're one of the last four in.
And here's another surprise.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
University of Utah should have gotten in also because they had a lot of good points. They had some good wins in their regular season games.
All right.
University of Utah, they had some good wins.
Yes, well, thankfully the committee has to deal with all of this and not us. I appreciate your call, Danny. Thanks so much for listening in Georgia. Hope that helped to answer your questions a little bit. But I would not take anything I say for gospel when it comes to filling out your brackets. Kyle says on Twitter, I usually flip a coin on one bracket, let my kids fill out another, and then give it my best shot on the third. But what's your best shot, though? What entails your best shot when you really think about it? When you pray over your bracket? Somebody said on Facebook they do a lot of praying over their bracket. Okay. I mean, God could care about basketball. I don't know if he cares about the outcomes of all the games, but he definitely might like basketball. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. Coming up next, my conversation with Colgate men's basketball coach Matt Lengle. Great story. First time for the Raiders in the NCAA tournament in more than 20 years. It's these types of Cinderella stories that make March one of my favorite times of the year.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Francisco Amiel hugging Will Raymond, and the Raiders have just punched their ticket to the NCAA tournament. Colgate men's basketball 94, Bucknell 80. And the Raiders are romping and stomping their way to the NCAA tournament.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
As a play-by-play announcer who has worked for multiple mid-major schools, this is a thrill. Like Eric Malinowski on the Raiders radio network, it's awesome to be able to call a championship game and then move on to the NCAA tournament. So it's cool for everyone involved with the mid-majors, especially the ones that come out of a one-bid league, like the Patriot League that Colgate won as the top seed on its own court. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Of course, that meant a fun Selection Sunday experience, and the Raiders got to see their name pop up in the South region against number 2 Tennessee. So 15 seed for Colgate, but the first time in the NCAA tournament going back to the mid-90s. You can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, we're asking you your methods to filling out your brackets now that it's that time of the year again. So it's our Twizzler Tuesday question. And on Monday afternoon, I had the chance to catch up with Colgate head coach Matt Lengle. So really cool story. We're always looking for the Cinderellas. I love it when the schools and the programs don't take it for granted. And Colgate definitely falls into that category. So I wanted to focus on the preparation now these next few days, getting set for the battle with Tennessee. So I started out by asking Coach, how do you cram in all this preparation for the Volunteers?
Yeah, I mean, you rely on the people that you trust to your program, to your student athletes and your staff. So while it's great to be involved in the media and promote our team and everything that we've been able to accomplish, you also find time to watch tape and meet as a staff and try and formulate a game plan because our opponent is really, really talented.
Right. In Tennessee, a team that could have been a one seed had it actually won the SEC championship on Sunday. As for your guys, well, this is the first NCAA tournament appearance for the school going back 20 plus years, which means none of them have ever experienced that. So how much do you feel like these few days of preparation and getting back into a groove can combat the anxiety and the uncertainty?
Yeah, I mean, I think that every kid growing up, and we've got a couple even international guys on our team, this is why they've put in all the long hours and the hard work is because this has been their dream. They've grown up listening to you and watching One Shining Moment and Selection Sunday and Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of the first round. And so, you know, there's going to be some excitement and some nerves. But, you know, what we talk about is what we prepare for all year long is trying to be in the moment and worrying about what you can control and concentrating on your job at hand. And, you know, while it's on a bigger stage against, you know, as talented a team as we will certainly have played all season long, those are still your responsibilities. And I'm lucky to coach intelligent young men who believe in one another and believe in the coaching staff. And so I know that while they're very excited for this opportunity, they'll also be locked in on the details. And at the end of the day, it's a basketball game, and this is what they've grown up doing their whole lives. And while they'll be, you know, extra excited, they'll certainly, hopefully once we get on the floor, we can calm our nerves and play our best.
Well, those moments that you talk about include Selection Sunday. And so you all had that opportunity together with the team and your fans. What was that moment like to be sitting together waiting for your name to pop up? And then you finally see it as a 15 seed in the South region.
Yeah, it was really cool. I had a chance to talk to Coach Dunphy, who's my mentor and my coach, who I worked for 7 years at the University of Pennsylvania in Temple. And their situation was obviously lots different, you know, being one of the last teams in, and you're really just, you know, got your heart in your throat, hoping that you get in. Our situation is fantastic that, you know, our kids have been wearing those championship hats since last Wednesday night when we were able to beat Bucknell at home in the championship. So my personality is kind of stand back and watch. And, you know, we had hundreds of students and townspeople that came to support us on Selection Sunday, you know, filled a big chunk of the stands. And so to watch the joy and excitement and explosion of the crowd and our guys when the name was called and they found out they're going to Columbus, which a lot of people can get to, it's just really a special moment as a coach to, you know, see young people achieve their dreams and that raw emotion that happens.
Coach Matt Langel has his Raiders of Colgate headed to their third NCAA appearance in school history, but the first one since back-to-back bids in 95 and 96. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Inside your own arena where you watch Selection Sunday, you also had the chance to celebrate Colgate winning the Patriot League championship. I'm always interested to talk to coaches in college basketball and get their opinion about the format. How do you like having the top seed in a league host the game as opposed to being at a neutral site?
Yeah, you know, I'm a big believer, especially for leagues like ours, you know, the Power Five conferences that pack, you know, NBA type arenas for their tournaments are a little bit different. But, you know, in a one bid league, I think you play all season long. And the regular season champion or the teams that finish the best should have slightly, you know, some advantage. So, you know, I do like the idea of a tournament of everybody being at one place. But the reality is I think the regular season gets devalued in that situation. And so for us, in a one bid league, I think there's great value in having the higher seed host the game. You get to play in front of your fans, and you know, it's rewarding for the teams that have put in the best work over the long haul and, you know, heightens their chance to represent the conference in the NCAA tournament.
And by hosting on your own court and winning a championship, then you get the mad storming at center court by the fans, which was really cool. Coach, I read a couple of interviews with some of your guys in which they talked about your start in league play. Win a game, lose a game. Win a game, lose a game. To the point at which you were 500, what propelled them to the 11-game win streak and prepared them to win the Patriot League championship? As you look back now, what changed?
Yeah, I don't know if anything changed. You know, we had a great non-league slate where we had great success at home as we ended up doing in the league. And I think we just had a really challenging schedule coming off break. You know, we dropped one to start at the Naval Academy. It's a long trip. It's a tough road trip. And they ended up being a pretty good team. And so we had a tougher schedule at the beginning. And then Jordan Burns, who had 35 points in our championship game and is an all-league performer, he went down with an ankle injury. So, you know, we had to learn to play without him for five games, but that's 2 weeks. And then you're putting him back in the lineup, but you're still trying to figure things out. So I think that the group just kept continuing to grow. And so while the results may not have been where we wanted them to be, they were invested in one another and believed in one another. And I think that that ultimately paid off. And, you know, we navigated some obstacles and found a way to win some tough games. And, you know, I think that's just kind of what happened as the season continued. It's just that we were in that tough stretch of the season where, you know, we're fighting to stay above 500 and in the top half of the league.
Okay, except I did see one of your own players say that you're not the same team you were 2 to 3 months ago. So how have you seen them grow since that time?
Exponentially to that question. You know, this group, we're not the same team we were 3 weeks ago. You know, we're not the same team we were 2 weeks ago. I think that's what I've been most proud of this group, has been a lot of different guys step up. We have the player of the year. We have two second team all league guys, but we've had some guys come off the bench and make huge plays, be it taking a charge, being it just making a timely 3-point shot, or running together a string where they, you know, a guy off the bench has made 3 or 4 threes. So I think that's what has impressed me the most about this group, is they've been committed to that process of let's keep getting better, be it on offense, be it on defense, be it just be slightly more efficient or more sharp for that next opportunity. So while we've been on this run, we haven't gotten lost in the magnitude of the run. They've been able to stay focused on the tasks at hand and finding a way to get a little bit better every day.
Colgate head coach Matt Langel getting his Raiders prepared to take on the second seed Volunteers in the South region on Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Over the course of your 11-game win streak, your team is shooting better than 51% from the field as a group. Obviously, the shots don't fall for every guy every night, but how much does the balance help when you have a bunch of different guys who can command the offense?
Yeah, no, I think it's a big part of our offensive efficiency is that, you know, while we do have a couple guys that lead us in scoring, if the defense is really, you know, desperate to take them away, we've got other options. And not only are there other options, but the group is really willing to identify what's available and have that guy make the shot. And so they're all capable and willing shooters, but they're also, you know, very much aware of what the defense is trying to do, and they're very receptive and responsive to making sure that the open guy gets the shot. And so I think that's what, you know, has allowed us, especially on the offensive end, to, you know, be as good as we've been over this stretch.
You scheduled some major conference teams in your non-conference slate, so you've had some experience against them already this year. But sometimes there's a disparity when it comes to the physical play of mid-majors versus power conference schools. So how do you combat the size as well as the physical nature of a team like Tennessee?
Yeah, certainly the physicality is something that, you know, we haven't been used to. I mean, we played Penn State. They have some physical guys. Syracuse always has an extremely long and athletic and physical team with their style of play. You know, I'm slightly comforted. We're built a little bit different than most teams in our league in that our front court, and I think I heard Coach Barnes mention this maybe when somebody asked him about Colgate early in this process, that, you know, we do go 6'9", 6'9", 6'7", 6'5", with a 6-foot point guard to start our lineup. So, you know, they're a little bit of an undersized SEC team, but they're very physical. And so, you know, that's not something you can replicate in practice, how hard they duck in, how that hard they battle for position. But we're just going to have to rely on the experience of some of our front court guys and, you know, some of those experiences against some of those Power 5 teams that we played back in November and December. But, and then you've got to adjust. There's certainly going to be an adjustment phase to the game where, you know, you go, whoa, man, I've got to figure it out. I've got to adapt and find a solution if I'm not as big and strong as the guy I'm going against.
We watched Selection Sunday. I did just like you did, Coach. And you see these teams pop up every year, Duke and Virginia and Gonzaga. And for heaven's sakes, UNC has been a number one seed for 17 times in its program history. But for Colgate, who's making just its third appearance, what does it mean to the school, to the program, to reach the big dance, the NCAA tournament?
So we'll certainly find out moving forward. I was sitting with my son watching the selection show last night after everything was done, and he's 9 years old. And that stat that you just said about North Carolina getting 17 number one seeds, he said, Dad, that's 17 number one seeds, not 17 times in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, for us here in Hamilton, New York, and Colgate's a small liberal arts school, you know, 3,000 people in a village of, you know, another 3,000 people, I'm hopeful that it's a really big deal. I'm hopeful that it'll take our program to another level. Just this attention and exposure that nationally people will be a little bit more aware of how great Colgate University is and what our basketball program has grown into, because you know, those of us that love this sport, this is a very special time of the year, and we're really proud to represent Colgate University as we move into this tournament.
Tons of excitement this time of the year as Colgate gets ready to face Tennessee, the South Region in Columbus, coming up on Friday. You can follow Coach on Twitter at @Matt_Langle. And I really appreciate a couple of minutes. Can't wait to see how your Raiders do moving forward. Thanks, Coach.
No, thank you very much for having me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.